What fruit does God expect? You know, for 3 weeks, we've been looking at several passages, including John 15, and we've learned that God has some fruit expectation in our life. If we are the branch, if we are a true disciple of Jesus, connected to Jesus by faith, then we're going to bear fruit. I mean, it's the natural result. I love this analogy. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. I mean, it makes so much sense. It's so simple. You know, as a branch, we without him, we can do nothing. I mean, if we're separated from the branch, we can do nothing. We're just going to be fruitless. But if we are abiding in him, we're going to bear fruit. And God's going to work in our lives so we can go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. But tonight we want to look at what kind of fruit does God expect. And, you know, as we've studied in John 15, that the word fruit appears a number of times in these first 16 verses. The question we're asking tonight, what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about here? What does he mean when he says that we are to bear fruit? You know, that's a good question for us to ask. And one way to find out is to do a survey of the New Testament and look at that word fruit and how it's used in the New Testament. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to just do a little survey. And I want to just say this at the beginning, that generally speaking, it refers to our actions or our way of life. And so that's the first two blanks on your handout tonight. Generally speaking, it refers to our actions or our way of life. So as we look at the fruit that Jesus is talking about in John 15, he's talking about actions in our life, our way of life. He's talking about spiritual fruit. And we're going to look in more detail as we go through the lesson tonight. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew 7, Jesus talked about two kinds of fruit, good fruit and evil fruit. He talked about a good tree brings forth good fruit. An evil tree brings forth evil fruit. And so there are two kinds of fruit. There's good and bad. And remember in the Old Testament, we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 5, God took the nation of Israel, planted Israel in the promised land. And he compared Israel to a vineyard. He said, I planted you on a fruitful hill. And he had done everything possible as a vine dresser to help Israel as his vineyard to bring forth fruit. And he said there in Isaiah chapter 5 that they brought forth wild grapes. And so God had to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel. I want you to look tonight, before we look at these four things tonight, I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 21. I want to just look at a parable just for a moment. In Matthew chapter 21, there's a parable beginning in verse 33 about a vineyard. And I want to just read this parable. Beginning verse 33, Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, he said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit thereof, or fruit of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. You know, in this parable, it's pretty obvious. I think we study this parable, what it's talking about here. It's talking about how that Israel, they were chosen by God as his redeemed people, and they were to bring forth fruits to God. And so when God sent his servants, and the servants would be the prophets. When God sent the prophets to Israel, what did they do? Well, the Bible tells us they killed them. They killed the prophets of God. And so at last he sent his son. And so here it's talking about Jesus Christ. Our Father sent his son. And what did the nation of Israel do? They had him crucified. They rejected him. They mocked him. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And so the parable is pretty simple. He tells us in this parable, Jesus is speaking here to these religious leaders of Israel, and he takes them to their own scripture in verse 42. He's quoting from the Old Testament. He said, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. So here's a direct prophecy of Jesus Christ. He was the stone that the builders of Israel had rejected. They rejected him. But it says the same has become the head of the corner. But in verse 43, he tells us that the kingdom of God would be taken from them and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You know, I believe that it's clear that Jesus here is telling the nation of Israel that there's fixing to be a change take place. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ was given to the church. You know, Jesus, when he was crucified, he was resurrected, he had already organized, built his church, and he gave to them the Great Commission. And that commission is to go forth and bear fruit. The church and Peter tells us that we are a holy nation. We're a chosen people. We've been called by God out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're to show forth that light. And so it's clear that the nation he's talking about is not a nation in the sense that we would think of a nation like America, but he's referencing a people. And you know, the church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry, it has been spread throughout the earth. Starting with the church at Jerusalem. They went out. The gospel was preached, churches were started, and unto this day, there are churches across the world, and we are one of those churches. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I think we need to once again be reminded that of our responsibility, not only as a Christian, but as a church, to bear fruit. That's what God's called us to do, to bear fruit to his glory. You know, as we abide in Jesus, like we talked about last week, in a moment-by-moment walk with him, we will bear good fruit in four areas of our life. And I'm going to look at four areas tonight, and it'll kind of answer this question, what kind of fruit does God expect? The first area is in our living. In our living. In other words, how we live our lives. And I want to look at some scriptures here, starting with Romans chapter 6, verse 22. We're going to be going through quite a few verses tonight in these 4 points, because I want you to see for yourselves what the scriptures say about fruit here in the New Testament. So in Romans chapter 6, let's begin in verse 20. And he tells us here in verse 20, "For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." You know, when you study the whole context of this chapter, what Paul's talking about here is that those of us here that have come to realize that we're lost sinners, that we've come short of the glory of God, and we've come to understand that that God loves us and He doesn't want us to perish, but He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins in our place as our substitute. He is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And so when we come to that realization and we repent of our sin and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that moment we receive eternal life. That moment we are set free from sin. You know, and he talks about here when in the past we were servants of sin. You know, a servant, the word servant here is talking about a slave. You know, we were slaves to sin. Every person that's lost without Jesus Christ is a slave to sin. He's in bondage to that sin. I mean, when we look at the lost world, we see how wicked it is. But listen, we need to remember it's because they're slaves to sin. They're only doing what they what their master's telling them. You know, they're a servant of sin. And so their fruit is the fruit of that life of sin. And he tells us here, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? See, after we've come to Christ and we've been set free from sin, now we're servants to God. We have a new master. See, our old master was sin. Now our master is Jesus Christ. And so having a new master, we have a new kind of fruit. See, before, the fruit was sin, unrighteousness, wickedness. But now he talks about the fruit of holiness, or he said, your fruit unto holiness. And so he's talking about our living here, our lifestyle. You know, one of the kinds of fruit that Jesus is talking about in John 15 that we're going to see in our life when we abide in Him is there's going to be a life of righteousness and holiness. We're not talking about a life that's sinless. We're not talking about a life that's perfect. You know, we're still sinners saved by the grace of God, but nevertheless, as we abide in Jesus, Jesus is going to produce this fruit in us. We're gonna have a life of holiness. We're gonna have a life of righteousness. You know, holiness just simply means that we are set apart from sin unto God. Now our life's dedicated to God. You know, some people have all these different weird ideas about holiness. They think, well, you know, they might think of it as a certain way to dress, you know. They might think of it, well, you gotta dress this certain way, you know. I'm not saying that dress is not important, but I just want you to understand, some people just looks at it as an outward thing. You know, well, you dress a certain way, you go to church, you do this, you do that. But it's a separation from sin, a lifestyle of sin unto God, a life dedicated to God. And that's what it is. And, you know, when your life's dedicated to God and when you're abiding in Jesus, you know what? There are going to be some changes in the outside. There's going to be some changes in your life, but it's just the result of what's going on inside of your life. You know, if you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, here's another verse that talks about how that the fruit is going to reveal itself in the way we live our lives. Here in Philippians 1, 11, he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So here he talks about the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness is doing that which is right in the eyes of God. That's what it is. And, you know, we look at this verse and it says, by which are by Jesus Christ. See, as we abide in Jesus Christ, he produces this fruit in us, fruits of righteousness in our lives. Let's look at Hebrews 12 in verse 11. Remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about purging. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 2, that, you know, those branches that bear fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. So as you're bearing fruit as a Christian, guess what? There's going to be some purging taking place. You're going to go through some trials in your life. You're going to go through some difficult, painful experiences. But it's God our Father purging you so you can bring forth more fruit. And look here in Hebrews 12, 11. He said, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So in this context, he's talking about our Father disciplining his children or chastising his children. You know, just like a good father would do his children in this world. When your child is going in a wrong path or demonstrating a wrong attitude, what do? You don't just let them go down that path and destroy themselves. You correct them. You stop them and you set them down. And it may involve some discipline like the rod, or we call spanking. It may involve that. You know, they're, especially when they're little. You know, so that's a painful thing for that child, but it's something that teaches them this is wrong. It's going to have painful consequences, and it's a part of correction. We never spank our children just because we want to see them cry. We don't spank our children just because we want to create pain in their lives. I know, you probably heard this, you know, maybe from your parent. This hurts me more than it hurts you. You know, as a father now, you know, having gone through all my kids through their younger years, you know, I can understand that statement. I never liked to spank my kids. I never did. I never wanted to do it. But I knew that there were times it was necessary to help them to learn, to correct them. And that's what he's talking about here, our Heavenly Father. You know, it's not joyous at the moment when we're going through this chastening, but he says that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so it's talking about our living. You know, it's going to reveal itself in our living, this fruit that he's talking about. There's one other passage before we go to the next point. Look in Galatians 5. And boy, I just hesitated going to this verse because, you know, I could spend 9 sermons in this verse. But I've got maybe 9 seconds tonight. You know, if you'll look in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he talks about the 9-fold fruit of the Spirit. And again, as I look at these verses, it has to do with our living. Righteous and holy living. Because notice what he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is the kind of fruit Jesus was talking about. And here he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God in us produces this fruit. As we're abiding in Jesus, the life of Jesus is producing this kind of fruit. Love. Talking about God's kind of love. Being unselfish and sacrificing for other people. Joy. I mean, joy in the midst of trials and trouble, there's just rejoicing. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Peace. I mean, we can be going through some of the biggest storms in life, but be at complete peace. I mean, that's something only God can do. Long-suffering. I mean, showing that patience and endurance under difficult trials and that gentleness, goodness, faith. Oh, we could, you know, like I said, these nine things, I could preach on each one, just a sermon. But just tonight, just want you to see what Jesus is talking about, to give you an idea, because you may have been asking, because we've been asking this question, are you bearing fruit in your life? So as we're looking at these verses tonight, are you bearing fruit? Is it seen in your living? Are some of these things manifesting themselves in your life? You know, in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit in those verses before, he talks about the works of the flesh. You know, you look at some of those things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. I mean, you look at these things, that's the opposite. That's the work of the flesh. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And so you get the idea. Well, let's look at our second area. Not just in our living will we bear good fruit, but in our giving. In our giving. In Romans 15, verse 28, Romans chapter 15, verse 28, Paul had been talking or writing to these Christians in Rome, talking about his desire to go to Rome and preach the gospel there. And he tells us, before we come to verse 28, I want you to see in verse 25 the context. He said, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It had pleased them barely, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed unto them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." So he talks about this fruit. What is he talking about? Well, in the context, he's talking about this gift, this sacrificial love gift that the churches in Macedonia and in Achaia had given for Paul to take to the church in Jerusalem. You know, when you study the background of all this, that there was a drought in Jerusalem in that area. They were affected by this drought. They were affected by persecution of their countrymen. I mean, for the most part, the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. So this church that was in Jerusalem, they were going through some very difficult times. They were suffering. Just kind of like these people in Houston, they were without food. They were devastated. And so these churches, these Gentile churches, had reaped spiritual things from the church of Jerusalem, because the church of Jerusalem, they sent out these missionaries. They sent out Paul and Barnabas, and as a result of the gospel going out, they reaped the gospel, the spiritual things from the church of Jerusalem. So now they're returning by giving them carnal things. Carnal things meaning money, food, meeting their material things to help them in their poverty. And so Paul calls this gift fruit. He said, when I've sealed unto them this fruit. You see, giving is a fruit. You know, when you look at Christians that just give sacrificial, how do you explain it? I mean, how do you explain it? That people that, because we're talking about giving by faith. I mean, people that, they may not have a lot, but they give because they have faith. And God provides. And God takes care of their needs. God gives them abundance and takes care of them. I mean, it's just, It's fruit of that relationship with Jesus Christ. A person abiding in Jesus, walking with Jesus, one of the things that comes out is giving. Fruit of the Spirit is love. There's going to be giving. There's going to be compassion. There's going to be meeting needs of other people. And so it's going to be seen not just in our living and how we live a righteous and holy life, but it's going to be seen in our giving. We're going to be a giving people, giving to meet the needs of others, giving so others can hear the gospel message. Let's look at number three. It will be seen in our praising. In our praising. You know, in Hebrews 13:15, go to Hebrews 13:15, we'll see another reference to fruit, a different kind of fruit from what we've been talking about. But Hebrews 13:15, he tells us in this verse, by him, speaking of it, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So he's talking about the fruit of our lips. So not just our living, not just our giving, but in our praising. You know, fruit coming from our lips, praising God. You remember when Paul and Barnabas were beaten at Philippi and they were put in prison? They were put in the stocks at midnight. It said they sang praises. Amen. They prayed. You know, praising is a fruit. You know, sometimes when I'm in church and I look out at the church during the song service when we're singing, and I look across the congregation, and sometimes I see people not singing. In fact, there's a lot of people that don't sing. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but I'm just stating an observation. And I wonder sometimes, why are they not singing? Why are they not singing? You know, I can't sing a tune in a bucket. I can't carry it. I mean, but I sing. Amen. Why do I sing? Because I want to praise my God. I want to praise my God. I always make sure that my mic's not on when I'm singing, though. You know, when I was at camp this past summer, during the in the cafeteria when we'd be eating, the kids would do this deal, and I'm trying to remember what they do. Maybe the twins could help me. What they do? They're beating on the table, and they're, pardon? Yeah, it's a song. What was it again? Yeah, sing a song or do the dishes. And so they'll be beating on the beating on the tables and singing that, and they'll state a person's name. And so that person either has to get up and go do the dishes or stand up and sing a song. Well, one of our teens was chosen, Mark. And Mark stood up, and you know what the song he sang was? Brother Johnny, sing a song or do the dishes. Brother Johnny, sing a song or do the dishes. I'm like, what? So I'm sitting there waiting for him to finish, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm thinking, I'm not going to go back there and do dishes. So I stood up on my chair, and I went. I sang in sign language. So I like to sing. I just don't want to be heard. You know, a lot of Christians have lost their song. They've lost their song. And maybe it's because they're not walking with him. Maybe they're not abiding in Jesus. Maybe they've got some heavy burdens in their heart they need to take to the Lord and cast their burden upon Him who cares for them. But you know, if we have been walking with Jesus and we have been worshiping Him during the week, we come to church, this is going to flow out. It's just going to come out. There's going to be thanksgiving on our lips. We're not going to be pouting and complaining and speaking bad. We're going to be thanking God. We're going to have a thankful spirit. That's just fruit. That's fruit of abiding in Jesus. Well, the last one. The last one is in our witnessing. In our witnessing. I would like to look at a couple of verses. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, verse 30. I realize this is the Old Testament, but this is a good verse. A verse to look at. Proverbs 11, 30. He said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So he talks here about the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree of life. What is a tree of life? Well, you know, we read about it in Genesis 3. That it was in the Garden of Eden. And those that eat of that fruit, it says, live forever. That's what it says in Genesis 3:22. You know, the fruit of the righteous is that what he's saying, we are going to be a blessing. We're going to be a source of life to others. Remember, Jesus talks about, you know, how that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit that we would receive. And so as Christians, we are called to be witnesses. Acts 1:8. We're to be witnesses. You know, we walk with Jesus. We fellowship with Jesus. And he said, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." So as we walk with Jesus, as we abide in Jesus, with Jesus, we're going to witness. We're going to share with others about Jesus. And we're going to be a tree of life. I mean, people will be able to hear about Jesus when they're around us. And it says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Talking about winning people to the Lord. Winning souls to the Savior. And so, one of the fruits Jesus is no doubt talking about is the fruit of our witnessing efforts. Seeing people saved. Seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You know, Jesus here went to speak to that woman of Samaria, and later the disciples came, and so then he began to teach them. And here in verse 35, he told his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit." Notice that. "Gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." He's talking about the harvest fields out there. He's talking about the lost world without Christ. It's like a harvest. We have to go out there and sow the seed of the gospel. The word of God is the seed, the Bible teaches. As we go out and sow the seed of the word, we go out there and share the gospel, then there are going to come other Christians along. They're going to reap fruit as a result of that sowing. Fruit unto life eternal. So here is another reference to winning souls as being fruit. You know, Paul in Romans 1:13, I'll give you one more, where Paul talked about how his desire to go to Rome. And in that verse, he talks about that he might have fruit among them also. And in that context, he was talking about his desire to go and preach the gospel. He said, "I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor unto the Greek and the barbarian." And so as much as in me is, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he talks about fruit in that context. He desired some fruit. He wanted to see souls saved. And so as we look at the fruit, what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit is God expecting in his people? What does it mean when he says that we'll bear more fruit and much fruit? Well, it's going to be seen in our living, the way we live our lives. Lives of holiness and righteousness is going to be seen in our giving. It's going to be seen in our praising. And it's going to be seen in our witnessing. I mean, that's just the evidence of fruit in a Christian's life. And these are not things we have to strive to do. I mean, it's not like you have to, well, I got to, you know, this because it's my duty. I've got to do this and this and this. No, it's an outflow of our relationship with Jesus. It's because of walking with him moment by moment and abiding in him. As the branch abides in the vine, we bear fruit. It's that simple. And this is the kind of fruit that the New Testament talks about that we will see. And so we have to ask ourselves tonight, are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? You know, even if it's meager, it may be that it's meager, but remember, our Father, he's going to work in our lives. And he cleanses us, he purges us. How? Remember? Through the Word. So we may come to church, we may hear a message, and it may hurt. It may make us mad. We may think, I don't like that message. I can't believe the preacher said that. He must be watching me. He mustn't be knowing what I'm doing. But you know what? It's not me. It's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. And when he convicts us of sin, you know what? We need to do the right thing. Get right with God. Let him purge it out of our life. Let him cleanse it out. You know why? Because when he do that, we're going to have more fruit. We'll go from meager fruit to more fruit, then to much fruit. And as we do that, we're going to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You know, I know Brother Robert, he was encouraged tonight. And I hope you prayed for him. He's preaching in the youth, to the youth tonight. And last night, Robert and I were out. We went out for Grow Outreach. And we were going out to visit some newcomers, and we came across this couple here. And we started talking to them and invited them to church. And so here they are tonight. And so Robert came down the hall and said, hey, Robert, why don't you go look in the chapel? And he was like, wow. You know, thank y'all for being an encouragement. Thank y'all for coming and being a part. And what an encouragement. And so just to encourage you, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. God will use his word to accomplish his will and his purposes. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. And after we pray, be sure and get around and let our visitors know that they're welcome. And let's remember our services this Sunday, and let's be faithful. Father, we thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for what you've shown us tonight about the different kinds of fruit that will be manifest in our lives if we're abiding in the vine in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that does not have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that, Lord, that they would take the time to find one of us after the service that we can show them how they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, because without him, we can do nothing. We cannot bear this kind of fruit without Jesus in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, as Christians and I, as we think about these things, sometimes we get away from you. Sometimes we stop praying as we should. We stop spending time in your word. We allow sin to take precedence in our lives. And as a result of that, we're not bearing fruit. And we're not bringing glory to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as your people, that we would get these things right, that we'd begin to return back to spending time with you in prayer and your word and being in church, and so that we can grow and so that we can bear fruit to your glory. And Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you all. Have a good evening.